I wanted to review some of the halachos relating to the Kedushas Beis HaMedrash that we have, Baruch Hashem, several Batei Midrashos on campus, including a new Beis HaMedrash. And sometimes the question arises, what are activities that are appropriate or inappropriate within the Beis HaMedrash based on the Kedushas HaMakom? So there's a Gemara in Megillah on Daf Chof Ches Samad Aleph that says, Tanam Abanam Batei Kinesios Einogim Ben Kalus Rosh. That if you have a shul, a community has a shul, so one is not supposed to engage in levity within the shul. If you look in the Girsa of the Rif, and this is carried over to the Rambam and the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, they have the Girsa Bate Knesios Ubate Midrashos, say no again, Ben Kalos Rosh. These are all dinim that apply equally to a base Knesset as well as to a base Medrash. What are manifestations of this? Einochlin behem and shosin behem, one is not allowed to eat or drink inside of these mekomos. So we see the eating and drinking is presumed to be prohibited in these mekomos. Vein eusin behem, and one is not supposed to adorn themselves in these places. Vein metailin behem, one does not just wander around aimlessly in these places. Vein eknasim behem b'chamim pnei achamim v'gashamim pnei gashamim, one does not go in if it's very sunny outside and you want to get away from the sun, so that's not a reason to go into a base medrash. And so too, if it's very rainy and you figure the best way to avoid the rain is to go inside the base medrash, that is also not allowed. And then the Gemara talks about what types of hespedim are not allowed and what types of hespedim are allowed. The Gemara then goes on to say that this is not necessarily the case across the board. What does that mean? The Gemara says on the specific statement in the Mishnah of Ein Eosim Behen that one is not allowed to adorn themselves, but it's a generalized statement. So Rabbi says, "Amarava Chachamim Mitamidei Mutarin Damar Rabbi Yishuv Ben Levi Maybe Rabbanim Beisad Rabbanim." That if you have Tamidei Chachamim, then they are allowed to treat the place a little bit more casually. And why is that? So it appears from the Gemara that this line in the Gemara is referring specifically to a base medrash. And when it comes to a base medrash, maybe there's room for leniency because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that why is it called a Bei Rabbanan? That why is a base medrash called a place of the rabbis? Because it's Beis HaRabbanan, because it's a house of, it's like their own house, that they reside in it all day, that this is where they basically live, Yomam Balayla. This relates to the whole machlokis about whether it's appropriate to put up a mezuzah in a base medrash. You know, we know that the halach is you don't put up a mezuzah in the base knesses. People don't live in a base knesset unless there are those who are living there. But if you have a base medrash, in a base medrash, there is a machlokis that's brought in the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Reish Pei Vav in Yoredeya, between the simple reading of the Gemara Menachos and Daf Lamed Gimel that a base medrash doesn't require a mezuzah, and the Yerushalmi brought by Tosfos over there that would indicate that a base medrash does require a mezuzah, and it could be. It depends upon how much do you view it as a place where people actually reside. That's why the Pesach Tshuva over there says that if you have a private base medrash in somebody's house, Leisman de Polik, says the Pesach Tshuva, and in such a case you would definitely require a mezuzah, because of the fact that there it is clearly a residential place. So our practice is like the Shulchan Aruch, that because it's a machlokis, we do put up a mezuzah, but we do it without a bracha. So in this particular case, when we dedicated the Gluck based medrash, a mezuzah was put up at the time of the actual dedication ceremony of the base medrash. That's when there was a mezuzah affixed. Which raises a separate question of what bracha does one put up for a binyan based medrash, the Mishnah Berurah, in the halachas of Birchas Shachriyanu and Tov Ve'Meitiv, Paskins, the one builds a base knesses, the one makes a bracha of Hatov Ve'Meitiv. There are three deos. Either you make a bracha Shachriyanu, or you make a bracha Hatov Ve'Meitiv, because there are so many people who benefit from it, so it's Tov for one and it's Meitiv for everybody else. Or some say you don't make a bracha at all on this type of thing. It's a makom that has potential for mitzvos, but it's not the mitzvah itself. So you don't make a bracha. So we followed the Mishnah Berurah that we actually made the bracha Hatov Ve'Meitiv. Our base medrash is both a base medrash and it's also used as a Beit Knesset, which we'll see has other ramifications. So that's what we did. And at the same time, we put up the bracha, the mezuzah, but the mezuzah itself did not warrant the bracha of Likvah mezuzah, because we do not make a bracha for kfiyas mezuzah in a base medrash. But at the same time, we see that there is a certain casualness that the Gemara seems to assign to a makom based medrash. So do any of these halakos get relaxed a little bit if you're talking about a base medrash? We see from the further story in the Gemara that maybe it depends. Meaning, maybe if people are going inside for the specific purpose of learning, there's room for leniency, but the question is how far to extend that leniency. So the Gemara tells the following story. The Gemara says that the Ravina Ravada Bamatana Vakami Vishali Vishelta Meravad. Ravina Ravada Bamatana were learning Torah, but they were learning Torah outside. They were learning Torah on the street. It was a rainy day. Asa Zilcha Dimitra. There was a big flow of rain that was overcoming them. So Aili LeBeit Knesset. So they went inside a Beit Knesset. So the Gemara here pointedly says they went to a Beit Knesset to get, they were getting away from the rain. So they made a special point of saying, don't think that we're walking into the Beit Knesset just to get in, away from the rain. There's a halakha that, you know, we just said that that you're not supposed to walk into a shul just to get away from the rain. So don't think that we're just going into the shul to get away from the rain. I mean, Haidi Aileen LeBeit Knesset, the reason why we're walking into a Beit Knesset right now, even though there is an incidental benefit that we're getting away from the rain, is La Mishum Mitra. It's not because of the rain. Ela Mishum the Shmaita Bayit Silusa Kiyomadistana. It's because when one's learning Torah, one needs a tremendous amount of concentration, of clarity, and therefore we have to get away from an environment which is very rainy and cloudy and disturbing, because we won't have the requisite concentration to learn Torah. But it was only because they were focusing on learning Torah that we had the justification for them to go inside of the Beit Knesset. So the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say that even though we are lenient with respect to Talmidei Chachamim who are learning in a Beis Medrash, we're not lenient across the board. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Kuf Nun Aleph, with respect to these dinim, the Shulchan Aruch says, Talmidei Chachamim, Talmidei Mutarim Lechov Lishtos Behem, that they are permitted to eat and drink inside of both a Beit Knesset and a Beis Medrash midochak, but it is only when it is absolutely necessary. If it would be a tremendous inconvenience to go outside, so then it is permissible for them to take a bite or drink some water under those circumstances, but not if they would be able to go outside and would not be a tremendous inconvenience. So the Mechaber is talking, and the Rambam, who the Mechaber is basically quoting, are talking even about a Beis Medrash. Even a Beis Medrash, one is not supposed to just casually drink or eat unless there is a very compelling need. So comes along the Ramah, and the Ramah says, "V'yesh omim to be Beis Medrash afilu shlomi dochak shari." The Ramah says that there are those who say that if you're talking about a Beis Medrash, even if you don't have a compelling need, the fact that you're sitting in a Beis Medrash, one is allowed to be casual in terms of eating and drinking, even if there is not a compelling need. What does this depend upon? So it depends upon your reading of the Gemara. So says the Shulchan Aruch in the Kesef Mishnah, and the Rambam says in the Kesef Mishnah that basically the Rambam is based upon a reading of the story of Ravina and Ravada Bamatana. Then in that story we see that even though they were going inside to learn, nonetheless, even though they were Talmidei Chachamim, nonetheless, if not for the fact that they were going inside the Beit Knesset to learn, they would not have entered just to escape from the rain. So we see from here that it is not something which is to be treated so casually, and you need special extenuating circumstances in order to allow for eating and drinking, even inside of a Beis Medrash. And the Ran says, no, the Ran interprets this story as basically talking exclusively about a Beit Knesset. That this story is talking about a Beit Knesset, and is saying that if you're going into a Beit Knesset, so then we don't have special dispensation. But if you're talking about a Beis Medrash, in a Beis Medrash where we call it Beis of the Rabbanon, where we say that this is considered to be the home where the rabbis live, so what do you do inside your home? Inside your home, you eat and drink. So therefore, it's okay to eat and drink inside of a Beis Medrash. So that is the psak of the Ramah, that at least for purposes of eating and drinking, that would be permissible, even if it was not absolutely compelling. And the Mishnah Brura brings a Svara. The Svara is that it would be a tremendous inconvenience on a certain level, if the Magen Avraham brings this, it would be a tremendous inconvenience. Somebody's very thirsty, they're very parched, they'll be mevatel milimudo, that it will cause them to be mevatel their learning if they have to step outside of the base medrash for even a moment. So therefore it facilitates the learning more if one is able to drink something, one is able to take a sip of water without having to go outside of the base medrash. Yes? That's a machlokas. So some say that therefore this should only apply. This the Be'er Halacha brings a machlokas. He quotes the Rashbeish, who says that therefore if somebody's not a Talmid Chacham, they should not be allowed to drink water inside a Beis Knesset or a Beis Medrash. And he says that the minhag nowadays is that everybody drinks and everyone relies upon the leniency to allow everybody to partake of this. What would be the leniency for everybody to partake? So this is based on another Gemara that is in the same sugya Megillah, and that Gemara says that the Bate Knesios Shebebavel Al Tanai Hein Asuyin, that the Bate Knesios, the houses of worship, this would presumably apply to the base medrash as well. We assume that they are constructed Al Tanai, that there's a Tanai that you're allowed to use them for regular purposes. But it happens to be a machlokas as to what this means exactly. Tosfos and the Rosh say that what this means is that you're allowed to use them for, say, eating and drinking, for example, when they are destroyed, b'chorbanon. B'yishuvah, and you're not allowed to do anything. When you say, we make a Tanai, so we make a Tanai that even though we have a Pasuk Vashimosius Mikdashechem, that the Kedusha, whatever Kedusha exists, the Ran assumes that the Kedusha and Bate Knesos and Bate Midrashos Bizman is the Rabbanon. Some say it's Deraisa, some say it's less. The Ran assumes here that it's the Rabbanon. But whatever the nature of the Kedusha is, the Kedusha would extend even after the house of worship was destroyed. So the Tanai works, but Babel, there's a special din, says the Gemara, that you're allowed to make a Tanai, Tosus and the Rosh assume. That means that you can make the Tanai after it's actually destroyed, when it's Bechorbanon. The Ramban says no. The Ramban says that that's not what it means. When it says that you're allowed to make a Tanai, you're allowed to make a Tanai even B'Yishuvan, even when it is still extant, even when it is still standing. However, the Tanai is not across the board. You're not allowed to make a Tanai with respect to certain things that would be in tremendous derogation of the Kedusha as Hamakom, so you can't make a Tanai to engage in Kalos Rosh. That for sure you're not allowed to do. So the Tanai is only for doing things b'shasa, doing things that are not such tremendous Kalos Rosh, not such tremendous frivolity, that are relatively necessary for various purposes, that are ayadeh hechrech, that are absolutely compelling, that are absolutely necessary. So what is that to work for? So he says that that works ma'ayad midochak, that you're allowed to have achilu shetia midochak. So the Be'er Halacha says that maybe those who are mekel, to allow people who are not Talmidei Chachamim to eat and drink inside a base medrash nowadays, it's based upon the assumption that the Batei Midrashos Al Tanai Hein Asuyin, that they're made Al Tanai, and therefore the Tanai is that whether you're Talmid Chacham, whether you're not a Talmid Chacham, you're allowed to eat and drink. But then it would the result would be that if you're assuming like the Ramban, that it would only be Ayidei Dochak. You couldn't take out a big spread or a big meal or necessarily something which is you're not going to do to accompany your learning and eat it in the base medrash, or if there isn't some mitzvah gathering. The Yerushalmi talks about how when they would be Ma'aber, the Shana, they would all get together and they would deliberate over this very important public mitzvah, so then they would eat in the Bate Kinesios. So unless there is some compelling reason of that sort, says the Ramban, then it would not be permissible. The Tanai only works if there's some sort of dochak. This may explain our practice in our base medrash, that if we're relying upon this notion that there should be some sort of dochak, so that would explain why we don't allow eating, because eating already is something that you're not going to be able to concentrate properly on the learning if you're engaged in a big meal. So our rule is that you can drink in the base medrash, but you're not allowed to eat in the base medrash. So that's the shita of the Ramban. And there's a third shita quoted by the Argos Ashri in the name of the Or Zeruah, that when we say Al Tanai Hein Asuyin, it's not only B'Yishuvin, it's not only when the Bate Kinesios, the Bate Midrashos are still standing, but it even seems to extend beyond Ayidei Dochak, that it would permit things like Achilu Shtiyah, even if it wasn't Ayidei Dochak. So B'Shas Adchak, the Or Zeruah is also another consideration that could be taken into account. But there's another problem, and that's the problem that's raised by the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Nun Aleph in Or HaChaim. So the Mishnah Berurah points out in the I believe he points this out in the Be'er Halakha. Yeah, in the Be'er Halakha, Baal Beveisa Medrash Mutar. So he points out that since this is a special hetzer for the Beis Medrash, because we say that the Beis Medrash is called Beis HaDerabbanan, it's called the House of the Rabbis. So if it's a special hetzer for the Beis Medrash, it's not a special hetzer for the Kedushas Beis Knesses. Even though the Beis Medrash has a higher Kedusha than a Beis Knesses, according to the way we paskin in the Gemara, that you can make a Beis Knesses into a Beis Medrash, but not vice versa, because the Beis Medrash has a higher Kedusha, but still, with respect to certain leniencies, like being able to eat and drink, because we say it's Beis HaDerabbanan, that's only applicable to a Beis Medrash, not a Beis Knesses. So says the Be'er Halakha, V'batei Midrasha Shalanu. So what do we do about our Batei Midrasha? Shemispalim Behem Gamkein, which are also, as we said earlier, that are also Batei Knesios, they also happen to be Shuls. So L'chayra Labgriya Mi Beis HaKnesses Levat. So therefore, with the base of the Be'er Halakha, I'm talking about a different din. He's talking about the din that's brought down, how in a base medrash, you have a chacham who's learning there all day. He's learning there all day and all night. So he wants to go to sleep there. So there's a question as to whether he can sleep there bekeva or whether he can sleep there ba'arai. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskin said, base medrash, so you can sleep you're allowed to sleep in a base medrash. The Mishnah Berurah says this means shena sarai, it means a temporary sleep. The Shulchan Aruch and Yoredeya and Simon Reish Membab says that even though technically speaking one is allowed to sleep in the base medrash, all kinds of bad things can happen to those who sleep in a base medrash, so therefore it's recommended against. But nonetheless, in the context of this halakha, he points out that since our Bate Midrashas are also Bate Kinesios, so the Chayra, one should be, one cannot be Mekel based on the special leniencies of a base medrash, because you also have all the chumras of a base knesses. So the Be'er Halakha says, well, it's possible, he leaves it as a tzarachim, but he says that it's possible that if the heter is based upon kind of the compelling considerations that are brought down, that it would just be impossible to control oneself if one is there all day, from being able to withstand falling asleep temporarily, one could perhaps be lenient on that basis, he suggests. So one can argue that perhaps, based on the same argument, if one is learning all day and it would create bittul Torah, as the Mogen Avraham says, to step away from the base medrash, even though it also functions as a Beit Knesset, to take a sip of water, and therefore you need to take the sip of water there in the place that you're sitting in order not to be mevatel from Torah. So maybe even if it's also used as a Beit Knesset, one could be lenient on that basis. There is a Bar Heitzev in Siman Kuf Nun Gimel that quotes in a totally different context any Beis Knesses that's Kovea Medrash Lilmot, that any Beis Knesses that also sets aside a Seder where people learn, Dino Kebeis Medrash, is considered to have the din of a Beis Medrash. So this, it's possible, one can argue that maybe that Shita that he's quoting from the Tshuvas Devar Shmuel would indicate that even if you have a Beis Medrash, it's used as a Beis Knesset, its din is as a Beit Medrash. But I don't know if we can extrapolate so much. He's talking about a different context, a different din, and it's not entirely clear that particular context could be carried over. It's so extensively, certainly the Be'er Halakha is concerned about this issue, that if the Beis Medrash is also used as a Beit Knesset, one has to be extra careful about these things. In terms of what we talk about, when we talk about not engaging in Kalus Rosh. So if you look at our Gemara just seems to be a biur. It says that you should not engage in Kalus Rosh in the base medrash. Then it says, Ein Oklin Behem, Ein Shosin Behem. You should not eat in it, and you should not drink in the base medrash. It seems to be an explanation, a definition of what Kalus Rosh is. But if you take a look in the way that this is codified in later girsos or versions of this halacha, the way that it is described is Ein Ogim Behem Kalus Rosh V'Ein Ochlim Mishosim Behem. These are two different dinim. It could be that Ochlim Mishosim is a subset of Kalus Rosh, but Kalus Rosh kind of stands on its own. So what is Kalus Rosh? So the Rambam says Kalus Rosh is Chok V'Hitzel V'Sicha B'Teilu, and that's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Kalus Rosh is one is not supposed to engage in frivolity or any kind of Sicha B'Teilu inside a base medrash. This is very important halacha l'maisa. So the Mishnah Berurah says Afilu Sicha Skulin Shilitzorach Parnaso. Even something which is sichas kulin, which is mutter, meaning not only lashon hara and mechilas, which is prohibited no matter where you are, But even the type of talk that would be permitted if you weren't in the base medrash, you're talking about your panasa, you're talking about your grades, you're talking about your finals, you're talking about your classes. These types of things would be permitted speech if it was outside the base medrash. So you're not allowed to engage in this type of speech inside the base medrash. In Hilchos Talmud Torah and Siman Reish Mem Vav, the halacha is stated even stronger that inside of the base medrash, Mesichem beBeis HaMedrash says the Shulchan Aruch Ela B'Divrei Torah, that the only type of conversation that should take place in the base medrash is Divrei Torah. So the Aruch HaShulchan asks the question. The Aruch HaShulchan asks in the context of the Batei Knesios, he says, what's the reason that nowadays people engage in the conversation that he says is sometimes in Yoni Chol? After davening is over, people get together and they kind of schmooze about regular conversations. The Aruch HaShulchan, very interestingly, is Malam Etzchus. He says, well, based upon this principle of the Ramban, that when the Tanai was made for Batei Knesios Shebebabel, and if you assume, as I think we generally assume, even outside of Babel, in other places, in Chutz La'aretz, that they're made on condition that one is allowed to engage in certain regular activities. And the Rabban says, yeah, that's only Ayidei Tchut Ochak, it's only if it's absolutely necessary. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, it could be that this is the only time that people have an opportunity to talk. So therefore, on some level, it's kind of deemed sort of necessary that they have these conversations at that point in time. So that seems to be a little bit of a stretch, but even if one applied that stretch with respect to a Beit Knesset, it would be very difficult to apply with respect to a Beis Medrash, where we have a separate din that's brought in Yoredeya, the Ein Masicha Beis Medrash, Ela B'Divrei Torah, so therefore one has to be particularly careful in terms of the speech that takes place in a Beis Medrash to really confine it to Divrei Torah. If there's some other conversation that somebody wants to have, the best and appropriate thing to do is going to have a 2-3 minute conversation about some other subject to walk outside of the base medrash, have that conversation, then walk back inside the base medrash and focus only on the learning of Torah. Also, in Yoni Mitzvah would be justified if it's a type of mitzvah derabim, like they used to gather, for example, to be Ma'abir Shana, and so forth, but anything else which is basically a secular, personal in nature, that's not really supposed to take place inside of a base medrash. Not only that, but we're told that there is a separate halacha. By the way, the question as to whether the Tanai, there are two other inyanim with respect to a Tanai that I should cover before I move on. One is that we mentioned that you could make a Tanai bebavil. So it's a question as to whether that only applies to Babel or whether it applies to Eretz Yisrael. So the simple reading is that it doesn't apply to Eretz Yisrael, but it might depend. According to the reason of Tosfos, that it's only a Tanai that you can make b'chorbanon, so we understand why it would only apply to Babel and not to Eretz Yisrael, because b'chorbanon, so the Batei Knesset, the Batei Knesset, Batei Midrashos were destroyed, you know, Rachmana Litzlan. So there's nothing left of them. So we understand that they have no shaykhos to Eretz Yisrael. So in such a case, we say that you can make a Tanai with respect to the that you can make a Tanai only in Chutz La'aretz, but you can't make a Tanai in Eretz Yisrael. But if you learn like the Ramban, that the Tanai is even b'yishuvan, that the Tanai is even when the Batei Knesios, the Batei Midrashos, are still in existence, and you're still allowed to make a Tanai. So if you'd be allowed to make a Tanai Batei Knesios, the Batei Midrashos, in Babel, you should be able to make an Eretz Yisrael as well. Because what's the reason to distinguish between Babel and Eretz Yisrael? So the explanation is that La'asi Lavo, all the Batei Midrashos in Eretz Yisrael will still be around, because we'll have the Gula. We won't have any need for those which are in Chutz La'aretz. But the Magid Avraham has an obvious kasha. The Magid Avraham says, oh, but we have a Medrash, it's brought down in the Gemara, in Megillah, the La'asi Lavo, all the Batei Midrashos are going to be lifted up, and they're going to be carried over to Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, this distinction only makes sense if you're talking about Bechobanon, but if you're talking about B'Yishuvan, so whatever is permitted B'Chutz La'aretz should be permitted B'Eretz Yisrael, because whatever Kedusha one has, the other one is going to happen, because they're all going to end up in Eretz Yisrael anyway. So therefore, if you hold that way, and the Mishnah Berurah brings this as well, so maybe if you tonight would work in Babel, it might work in Eretz Yisrael as well. But there's another very important machlokas between the Magid Avraham and the Maaseh Binyamin that's brought down by the Mishnah Berurah, which is, does the Tanai have to be explicit? I don't know if when the Gluck based Medrash was built, whether an explicit Tanai was made. So according to the Magid Avraham, you have to make an explicit Tanai that you're going to use this for regular casual purposes. But if you didn't make an explicit Tanai at the time of the Binyan, then you're not allowed. It's only if the Tanai was outright explicit. So the Maaseh Binyamin says, nah, it doesn't have to be explicit. As long as it's basically understood, that is good enough. So the Mishnah Berurah says that there seems to be, the many seem to rely upon the Masis Binyamin, but in the Shaar Tzion, he says that the truth of the matter is that the Adava ain't lo hechre, that it's not, really is very difficult to figure out whether to paskin like the Magen Avraham, whether to paskin like the Masis Binyamin. So he says that one might, you know, that this is also another consideration in terms of being extra cautious when it comes to these matters, if there wasn't an explicit Tanai. The Aruch HaShulchan seems to indicate in one place in the Siman that he considers it okay to, in one place, the Aruch HaShulchan says explicitly that if there wasn't an explicit Tanai, then you can't rely upon the notion of the of that Batik Nesios Shebabava B'Tanai Hei Nasuyin. But in one place he writes that if you have a private-based Medrash, one's allowed to be more Mako, because Mistama, this was the understanding that it was supposed to be used for casual purposes, for base Medrash, something somebody has in their home. So he seems maybe there's some wiggle room. I don't know. Just bringing that up as a ha'ara. It could be that if any base medrash that's built here on this campus is built with the understanding that it's going to be used like all the other Batei Midrashos were used until then. So maybe that's a form of tonight. That's something to think about. In any event, there's also to move on. There's another important halacha about not stopping into the base medrash if one's not going to learn. So this is brought down in the Gemara, and is also brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. Basically, that one is not allowed to go inside of a base medrash just basically to call out a friend. Let's say that you needed to meet with somebody. You have somebody who's giving you a ride home. You're giving them a ride home. Mm-hmm. You're going somewhere together. You know they're learning in the base medrash, so you want to call them out of the. You want to call them out of the base medrash. So you're not allowed to go into a base medrash to call somebody out without stopping and learning in the base medrash as well. So, if you need to go there for some other purpose, so how do you do it? So what you're supposed to do is ikanis vikram atu yomad derashmu vechakak karenu. You should go in and you should learn a little bit. So that it should not look as if you're going in just for your own personal needs. So the Mishnah Berurah points out, Mechaber is very medayek to say, first you sit and learn, and then you call your friend. Because otherwise it looks like the Iker is the calling of the friend, and the Tuffel is the Torah. So it's very important to do it in the right order. The right order is, first you learn Torah, and then you call your friend. What if the person doesn't know how to learn Torah? Mechaber says, so then he should sit a little bit, he should tarry around a little bit, and then leave. She yeshiva behem mitzvah, because sitting in a base medrash is itself a mitzvah, because it says Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha. It says Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha, so we see that even the sitting is a mitzvah. So you have some people who walk into a base medrash, they'll sit down and say Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha. So it doesn't actually say that you sit down and you say Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha. It says if you don't know how to learn, so then you sit down, because even the sitting is considered to be a mitzvah. The Aruch HaShulchan says it doesn't even have to be sitting. Quotes the Bach, Yeshiva is a Lashon HaKavod. It means you should stay around a little bit. You can stand too. He doesn't. He assumes that yeshiva is lav davka. The lashon of the mechaper is yeshiva. The Aruch HaShulchan assumes, quotes the Bach, that it's lav davka. But it's not a magical formula that you sit and you say Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha like you're waving a wand. The main thing you're supposed to do is you're supposed to sit and learn a little bit. But if you don't know how to learn, so then you tarry a little bit, because even the tarrying in a base medrash is considered a mitzvah because of Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha. So if somebody is just tarrying a little bit, how long? What's the minimum amount of time? So the minimum amount of time, says the Ramah, is hiluch shnei psachim, is the amount that it takes to go two psachim. What's the amount of time to go two doorways? Because two doorways is the idea. You go in one doorway, you go out another doorway, you're spending significant time somewhere. So it's very interesting. I don't understand the guess. It's such a tiny shir for shia shnei psachim. The shia shnei psachim of two doorways, according to the Mishnah Berurah, Shia Shnei Psachim is Shmona Tvachim. Shmona Tvachim is one Amma and two Tvachim, right? One Amma and two Tvachim. You know how little one Amma and two Tvachim is? If you figure out basically how long it takes to walk everything, this is a cheshbon that I did in my head. I mean, everyone, you can check it yourself. I don't know if I even saw it somewhere. But basically, the Gemara in Psachim says that over the course of a single day, you're going to walk 40 mil. Over the course of a single day, of a 12-hour period, you're going to walk 40 mil. So if a 40 mil, one meal is 2,000, 10 parcels. 10 parcels is 40 mil. And one meal is 2,000 amos. So if you do that cheshbon, it would come out that basically you would walk one meal of 2,000 amos in 18 minutes. It takes 18 minutes to walk 2,000 amos according to that cheshbon. So if you break it down, so it comes out that four amos, the amount of time that it takes to walk, we have certain halakos that says he's supposed to wait four amos. He's supposed to wait the shir kiloch and kedei hiloch dalet amos when you put the talus over your head and when you put the talus on in the morning. When you go back after finishing Shmona Esrei, before you step forward again, you're supposed to wait shir dalet amos. How much is it? So according to my cheshbon, I just did this the other day again in an airplane, but I remembered it from a few years ago when I did the cheshbon a few years ago. So it came out, in, according to my cheshbon, to 2.16 seconds. Shir dalet amos came out to 2.16 seconds. So according to that, eight tefachim would be 0.72 seconds. That's less than a second even. So it doesn't seem like the shear of tarrying comes out to too much, but it's hard to imagine that it should be so little. But anyway, that's how the cheshbon seems to come out. But at the very least, somebody is supposed to sit for this amount of time, stay in the base medrash. You're supposed to learn before they call out their friend. And this is only if they have a real reason to walk into, if they have a real reason to walk into the base medrash. Because they actually absolutely have to go to call out a friend, so then you have this heter of sitting for a couple of seconds in order to fulfill the kavod base medrash to properly learn something before you call somebody out. So that's a very important halacha. Another important halacha is the halacha that one is not supposed to make a shortcut into a base medrash. This is based on the Mishnah in Megillah, and the Gemara talks about it as well. The Gemara says that if somebody is going in for other legitimate purposes, you're going into Davin, you're going into learning, and it happens that if you go out a different door than the one you came in, so you'll gain a little something, so then it's perfectly permissible. But just to pass through a base medrash area for purposes of a shortcut is completely impermissible. And even in those instances where it is permissible, like you came in, you were learning there, something like that. So there's a Gemara in Megillah and Daf Chav Zayin on a base that says that Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua was asked, "Maharachta yamecha? How is it that you got to live so long?" And he says, "The reason that I got to live so long is because I never made a kapandaria. I never made a shortcut through a Beit Knesset." So the question is, but there's a halacha you're not allowed to do that. So what's the great milah? So it's some learn the Rashba, the Ritva, and others learn that he was saying that even when it was permissible, even when, for example, there was a shvil, there had been a path there beforehand, and therefore it was legitimate to just walk on the same path, even after it became a base medrash, when it would have been legitimate, nonetheless, I refrain from doing so. When it comes to tefillah, so there's a special halacha based on a pasuk, I think in Yechezkel, that if you start on one pesach, you're supposed to go out the other pesach. My son even have a gear so that it's a mitzvah. So the Rambam, when the Rambam quotes this halacha of not making a Beit Knesset, a couple or a base medrash for that matter, a kampandaria, so the Rambam says, only quotes that it's permissible to use a shortcut if you actually started to go in there for purposes of davening, but doesn't quote any other heterim. If you came in for any other legitimate purpose, the Rambam doesn't mention it. So why doesn't the Rambam mention it? So they suggest that the Rambam doesn't mention it because the Rambam basically is paskening like the Chumrah of Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua that it is appropriate not to engage in this type of exercise except when there's a mila to it, like when one was engaged in tefillah. However, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch seems to indicate, this doesn't seem to be so machmir on this particular subject, seems to hold that basically whenever there was a legitimate reason for you to have walked in originally, so then you are allowed to go out through a shorter path on your way out. Says how you im haya im lo nechnas bo tachila kedei lekatzir darko mutal asos derech. If you didn't go in originally for that purpose, then you're allowed to make a derech out of it. And the Be'er Halacha goes even further, I believe. So I'll take a look here in the Be'er Halacha just to double check. I believe the Be'er Halacha says, yes, the Be'er Halacha says, "Im lo shi'ikra shi'ish sham me'at." The Be'er Halacha indicates that just as we have a heter, if you're calling out a friend, and this is a big chiddush in the Be'er Halacha, a very big chiddush, says just like I have a heter, if I'm calling out a friend, that it is okay to call a friend, even though there I have to go to the base medrash to call the friends. He say, "Ain't brera," so we let you do it if you sit and learn first. So he says, even if you need to pass through, you desire to pass through, there would be a heter to pass through and cut your path by passing through the Beis Medrash, if in fact you sit and you learn in the Beis Medrash, or spend the significant, or spend time, a measure of time, whatever that is, in the Beis Medrash first, other than simply walking through for purposes of making the shortcut, you stay there independently, so then it would be mutter under these circumstances as well. So that appears to be a bit of a heter on the part of the on the part of the Be'er Halacha. Just one second. I believe that the the Aruch HaShulchan actually says similarly with respect to somebody going in for to get away from the sun or the rain, that even though there too he doesn't have business to conduct in the Beis Medrash, he says that he would that he thinks it's permitted if somebody sits a little bit in the Beis Medrash, even though their ultimate purpose is to get away from their ultimate purpose was to get away from the rain. Yes. So if you're going in for a sefer, so that's also something that you can only do inside the Beis Medrash, but you're not actually learning inside the Beis Medrash. So one can argue that's similar to calling a friend, even though it's a davish mitzvah. You can argue it's a davish mitzvah, so maybe it's a little bit stronger because it's a davish mitzvah. So therefore, that might be a greater justification. But probably to be on the safe side, it's good to always engage in a little bit of learning if one is just dropping in for a moment in time. Sit down on a chair and say a Mishnah, but it would seem that would be there'd be an argument to be more makel in that type of situation. Yes.
The person might have keys or something he needs in the basement. You should have to sit and learn though.
Yes, I think so. The keys would definitely fall in this category. Definitely. So, all right. So that particular point of the Aruch HaShulchan also is requires some evaluation. Particularly in light of the Gemara that talks about the two Amoraim, who when they went in from the rain, they were obviously learning, but they said, well, the only reason why it was permitted for us to go in here is because there's a value to our sitting and learning in the Beis Medrash, because we didn't go in for the purpose of rain, we went in for the purpose of learning. But one can also distinguish like the Ran and say that there's more room to be makel in a Beis Medrash than in a Beis Knesset. In fact, the Be'er Halacha assumes that when we say, when the Ramah paskins that a Beis Medrash can be used, afilu shalom midolchak, for purposes of other, for purposes of eating and drinking, so he assumes that that's true even for other tashmishim, that you would be allowed to do the chol tashmishim shari, and he says, what would that be? And he says, based on the Ran, even the konis b'nei geshamim gam kein mutter l'didei, that according to the Ran, one would even be allowed to go into Beis Medrash, as we said earlier, for purposes of getting away from the rain. But even if you're not a Mako like that, Ron, and the Aruch HaShulchan is not Mako like that, but there will be room to be Mako, as the Aruch HaShulchan says, if one sits and learns first for a certain measure of time. Now, there's also a halacha that's brought in the Shulchan Aruch based on a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Aleph and a Mordechai there. Yesh li zarm lishtamish ba'aliyah shel gabi beis haknesses tashmish kavua shel genai kigon lishkav shom. Says that there's a special halacha. You're not allowed to be mishtamish above a base knesses, and presumably a base medrash as well. Any tashmish which is shel genai. What's shel genai? If you're going to sleep there, you're going to change diapers there. But then he says, Ushar tashmishim, but even other tashmishim, like eating and drinking, yeshli stapek and mutli shtamisham. He says it's a suffix. What's the suffix? So the Mordechai in the Gemara in Shabbos that says that one is supposed to make sure that the base Knesset is the highest building in the entire city, and there's nothing higher than the base Knesset. So the Mordechai says that he has a suffix as to whether one is allowed to utilize the space which is above. Because does it have the kedushas? Because it has a me'en kedushas base of mikdash. It's mikdash me'at. That's what we say that the Gemara in the Megillah on Daf Chof Tes says that basically batei midrashos and batei mikdashos have a din of mikdash me'at. The kedusha, whether it's the Raisa, the Rabbanan, however you understand the kedusha, but the kedusha is based upon a principle of hilahem mikdash me'at, of it somehow embodying a mikdash me'at. So he has a suffix. So is the kedusha that of the heichal or that of the azara? What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is that the kedusha of the heichal, the aliyah shel gabi heichal, according to Gemara Masechem Daf Pehei, the aliyos of the Heicha niskachu, but the aliyos of the Azora not niskachu. So that's the suffix. So whether you're allowed to utilize the space or not is dependent upon that suffix, says the Mordechai. So the Rambam in the has a tshuva, and the tshuva Rambam that basically says that really most of a Beit Knesset says the din of a kedusha is ha'azora. So therefore, you don't have to worry about utilizing the what's on top. With the exception of the Aron, that you have to be machmir with respect to the area of the Aron, because the Aron has the din of a hechel. So therefore, the area which is above the Aron, one would have to be particularly machmir about. So therefore, in Medina, when this is discussed with various psukim, the Rav Avadya Yosef has a chew about this in the Yabia Omer. It's a little piece about this, actually. Rabbi Bleich has a piece in his first the book of Contemporary Halachic Problems, of building an apartment above a synagogue. So there are all kinds of heterim that are utilized. One heter is that maybe it's sort of understood tonight, if you built the buildings, the rooms above, at the same time you built the base medrash, so obviously there was like a tonight that you intended to use it, but at the same time you still shouldn't use it for Tashmish Shel Ganai. Another basis for being Mekel is that if it's a base medrash that we're talking about, and remember that's complicated here because it's a base medrash and a base knesses, if it's a base medrash that we're talking about, so you're allowed to do things within a base medrash anyway. It's a base of the Rabbanon, so certainly you could do things that are on top of the base medrash. So there are various kulos that are brought halacha l'maise. Some say it's only the roof you have to be worried about because that's public and it's flagrant as opposed to the rooms that are inside the building. So the Meiri says that it's only if you were building the rooms on top derech sroah to like lure those rooms above the bit to make them more important than the base medrash, but not if it's just that it's memela because you need space to put things inside a building, then the chumrah might not apply. The Rav Avadya Yosef says that should also be babitoch ha-cheshbon. But lemaisa, we see that there's more room to be machmir about any kind of uses, like even eating and drinking, that are other tashmishim if it's the area which is directly above the hechel. There's a sheet of the Kari Adat that one only has to be machmir in the floor which is directly, either in the gag, I guess, or in the floor which is directly above the base medrash or base knesset. So I asked our facilities people to indicate to me which areas in these various floors are directly above the oven. So they did a little drawing for me, and in the drawing that they did, it seems that on the second floor, which is directly above the oven, basically is just the wall area at the end of the base medrash. They said that they didn't think it went anywhere. On the third floor, this is in room 318. On the third floor, there's a little lounge area, and right before the lounge area, like right around where the wall is, that's where it would be directly above the aron. So there's nothing really that's done in that area. So some say that it's good to put like a little closet chest in that area. We could just put things on top, but just to make sure that nobody will engage in any kind of inappropriate activity, and nobody's going to sit and eat and drink there. So, but it looks like it's an area that would not be set aside for eating and drinking. It's not in the classroom. In the fourth and fifth floors, where again, according to the Kari Adat, one wouldn't have to be terribly concerned anyway, because it's not the floor which is immediately above. In those floors, it actually captures the very side, I guess, the northern side of the of classroom 417 and classroom 517. So I don't know. I haven't gone there today. Whether there are, it was envisioned that there would be some seats that would be lined up to the wall in classroom 417 and 517. One could argue that maybe it's better not to have, seats there if anyone's going to eat or drink, if one wants to be particularly machmir, but basically that's where it would be in 417 and 517. And on the sixth floor, where basically we have our administrative offices, so on the sixth floor, it's right at the very entrance to the mail room, which is right in front of the faculty lounge. So it's not in the faculty lounge itself, which would be, an interesting question. But it's not in the faculty lounge, it's the Rosh Yeshiva lounge, where there's eating and drinking and coffee, but it's in the entrance, like the doorway, like a little bit before the doorway and a little after the doorway, right before you get to the mailboxes. So just something to bear in mind as well. The Shulchan Aruch in Yerudea in Simon Reish Mem Bav also mentions the well-known halacha that if somebody sneezes in a base medrash, you're not supposed to say gesundheit. You're not supposed to respond for sneezing in the base medrash. So the Taz quotes the Prishu, says, come on, nowadays, that's nice if we're assuming that everybody has the most wonderful kavanas and nobody ever messes up in terms of ever saying an extraneous word. But nowadays, let me know, whatever. It could happen that somebody might say an extraneous word, so maybe it's not the end of the world to say gesundheit nowadays. So Taz gets very angry about that. He says, even though we have such a principle, for example, when it comes to like a chassan saying Kriya Shema on the night that he gets married, that really the Mishnah says that he'd be pater because he's not going to have the requisite kavana, Nonetheless, nowadays that nobody really has the requisite kavana, so therefore we say that a chassan is supposed to be say Kriya Shema on the night that he gets married. But there, at least, what is he doing? Because we're being makel based on people not having appropriate kavana, so a mitzvah is being performed. He's saying Kriya Shema. But here, if you're going to be makel, so an inappropriate activity is going to be performed. You're saying, okay, everyone speaks inappropriately, so we'll let them speak inappropriately more by saying gezuntai. So the Taz is very strong, and he says he doesn't think that one should rely upon this, and it would be more appropriate not to say gezuntai when somebody sneezes in a medrash. Beyond that, there's also a halacha that's brought in the Shulchan Aruch that one is not supposed to go into a Beit Knesset or a Beis Medrash with Tichel Aglo, that one is supposed to make sure that they don't have dirt on their feet. So if it's the winter season and somebody and it's very very sloshy outside with lots of snow and with lots of dirt, and somebody has all the snow in there and all the dirt on their galoshes, so it's appropriate in terms of the kavod hamakom that one is supposed to clean this up and one is supposed to go in a proper state of mind. A proper state of dress. The Aruch HaShulchan says explicitly, one should make sure that the shoes are properly clean. It's a special inyan of wiping one's feet properly before one walks into a beis knesses or a beis medrash. So those are some of the halachos. There's obviously more that could be covered in terms of the overall inyan, in terms of the conceptual understanding as well of what it means that b'tanai hein masuyin, and the different types of tashmishin that would be covered by the tanai or not covered by the tanai. If it's something which is very much a genai, then wouldn't be covered by the tanai in different gradations, and different types of activities where the tanai would work both with Bavel and Eretz Yisrael according to the Magen Avraham, and there are various other shitos and various other questions that arise. But I just wanted to cover a basic framework of some of the issues so that when we approach our own base medrash and we think about, you know, some of the rules and regulations beyond those that are posted on the wall, that we need to be mindful of in terms of the proper respect, proper kavod that one is supposed to pay to the Kedushas HaMakom of the base medrash. This is a review of some of the pertinent issues, and hopefully this will enable us to be mekayim the mitzvah of learning in the Beis Medrash with more alacrity. I'll just finish with one last thought, which is that the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, based on the Gemara that everyone's familiar with, of Yelchum Yichayel Ochayel, that when one comes out of a Beis Knesset, one is supposed to go inside of the Beis Medrash. So the Mishnah Berurah says that nowadays that we basically use our Bate Midrashos as Bate Knesios. So nowadays that our Beis Knesses is that Shemispalim Bate Midrashos, this din is still Shayach. How is the din still Shayach? The din is still Shayach that after davening is over, one should ideally join together with other fellows. You'll see this with a lot of the older guys. A lot of the older European guys know this halacha better than we do. To sit and learn some Mishnayos, because it says Yelchom Yichayel El Chayel. So it also says the Shulchan Aruch also brings down that before you sit for an extended period of time in the Beis Medrash, you should first eat Pashacharis, because Pashacharis we know is a very good thing. There are 83 different illnesses that are cured by making sure to eat Pas Melech V'Kiton Shomayim in the morning. So one is supposed to have a proper breakfast, obviously, before they sit for their extended Seder Halimud. What should the Seder HaLimud, but what should the amount of time be, ideally, when one is sitting for the more extended period of time after one has davened in the morning? So the Piskei Tshuva in Orach Chaim, quotes from the Ma'aser Rav B'Shem HaGra, that after learning, what's the amount of time that a person is supposed to sit straight without any hefsek? Can anybody guess?
3 hours.
Gimel Shos B'li Hefsek. One is supposed to sit. It's based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Gimel. The Gimel Shos Harishonos HaKadosh Baruch Hu Osek B'Torah. So therefore, 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock, one should be very meticulous to be there every single minute, so they can get the full 3 hours of their Seder Halimun in the Boker. Yes, Hashem, we should all be zoche to be mekayim in full the mitzvah of learning b'chabura, in Tamatoha nikneiselo ela b'chabura b'tocha kosle beis medrash that ki chayeno ve'och yamenu uvehem nege yomam v'layla.